two people can be in the same career, earn the same salary, and even get the same company benefits, but still retire in completely different financial positions. That's because one of them knows how to make the most of employer share schemes, provident funds or pension contributions, and compulsory retirement contributions. While the other one sticks to what they're told, never asks any questions, and doesn't want to upset anyone. They never really know whether they're doing the right thing. In today's episode, I'm looking at a few real retirement dilemma questions submitted by you from people all over the world. And we're looking at how they can be smarter about benefits from their employers, but also what to do if you're building up a retirement in one country but planning to retire in another. Remember, if you've got any specific questions, I'm always looking for good questions to answer. Please follow the link in the description and send me your questions. The first question is from a 39-year-old in Johannesburg, saying 3 years ago, I received share incentives from work and they are vesting now. I have the option of paying out cash and have tax deducted, or transferring the shares to my name, paying the tax on it from other savings, or a combination of it. And then she adds how many shares it is, and it's in a JSE listed company, which is a stock exchange in South Africa. She asks, do I believe in the company I work for, therefore keep the shares, or do I take the cash and invest somewhere else? This is actually something I see quite often with executives that I talk to, is once they reach a senior position in a company, a lot of their compensation is share incentive schemes where the employer gives them options in the company, and usually there's a vesting period attached to it. So usually it's either options or they give them stock units that vest over time. With the options, there is typically a strike price that you can buy it at. And anyway, it's a little bit complex in terms of the two ways that your employer can typically issue stock options to you or give you shares in the company as an incentive or as part of your compensation package. But this is very dependent on the country and how it typically works in that country and the rules around it. And also the tax is very different in each scenario. But just at a high level, I would say is if you are quite senior in a company and you've already worked there, obviously for a few years and planning to stay on when you're in a senior position, then a lot of your net worth is already quite attached to that specific company. That means a very concentrated position of your net worth in one stock, in one company. Because not only the shares that you're getting as part of your compensation package, but also your bonus, your salary increase, your promotions, a lot of your financial life and financial future is very dependent on this one company and the performance of the company. So I would normally, as a rule of thumb, say is not to have too much exposure, not more than 10% to one company or a single stock. And so my first question here would be, what percentage does the value of these shares represent as a value of your portfolio, of your overall net worth or your investment portfolio? And also, it seems from the question that she submitted that on the one case, she will, when selling the shares, that would have a tax implication, but also even just transferring the shares to her name would also trigger tax with me. And that would mean, you know, using some of the savings to pay the tax on that. So in both cases, the net cash flow or the net, it's not necessarily all cash flow, because on the one side, it would actually be shares or the value of the shares in her name, but the net value or additional value to the net worth would be exactly the same, just because the one side would be selling the shares, paying tax, on the other side, getting the value of the shares, but also paying tax based on that value. So in essence, after tax, there is not much of a difference between these two scenarios. The other thing I often hear people say is, would it not look bad if I sell shares in my employer and would it not perhaps question my commitment towards? And I honestly think if you look at some of the bigger CEOs, they sell shares in the companies that they are CEOs of, global companies. And it's not necessarily, I mean, it obviously makes sense that you don't want to have a concentrated position in one company. And if anyone ever asks that, you can obviously explain it like that. I would think you're very smart if you tell me that as your reason for selling shares. So I wouldn't necessarily worry about that. And of course, if you get to retirement one day and you're in a better off position because you diversified away from a single company or having too much exposure to a single company, then you're going to be very happy with your decisions. And your employer is not necessarily going to worry about you if the value of the shares didn't increase as much as you expected, and you want to retire. So that's just my two cents on the rationale, or if you need to motivate why you're selling shares, which you hopefully don't have to. So the next question is from a 28-year-old microbiologist from Johannesburg, saying, I currently have a provident fund through my employer where the company contributes 36% to the fund and the other 64% is from my salary. So I don't think that's the amount of percentage of the gross annual salary being contributed. I assume that the contributions towards the provident fund is a 1/3 split coming from the employer and 2/3 coming from the employee. This is an umbrella provident fund through a South African service provider. And my concern is that I'm unable to see the fees attached to this account and fear they are probably quite high, as in over a 5% effective annual cost, which is obviously really a dreadful amount of fees to pay every year. Since this is a provident fund, I'm unable to move or change my contributions. Are there any steps I can take to manage this, or is it completely out of my control? The fund currently makes about 1/5 of my investment portfolio, and I fear that I will lose significant interest long-term due to the high fees on this portfolio. So first of all, this is a really good question to ask. And I think especially for anyone starting their career, or even if you're not starting, you've already worked for a company for a few years, you have to ask questions about the pension or retirement or the contributions that's being made from your salary towards any kind of retirement fund. Because I think something I've realized is that some people just tend to say it's out of my control, or they're going to look after my best interest. And I've seen some few horror cases, which I will tell you about. But you have to ask questions, ask HR, where this is a deduction from your salary. So you have all the right to know exactly where this money is invested. Ask for a statement to see where the money is being invested. And I have seen that the fees are not very transparent on these, but you should be able to also get a breakdown of fees. I've heard from people that when they start asking HR questions about their pension or their retirement contributions and where it's going, that it takes them weeks to find out, because actually no one in the company really understands where the money is going or what it's invested in and what the options are that the employees have. So obviously, revisit your employment contract if you have to understand like what the kind of commitment is that you have. Make sure that the company are also making their contributions towards it as per your agreement. But you have to understand where this money is going. Most of the time, you don't have control over what it's invested in. Sometimes they give you a choice between two or three funds. They might say there's a conservative, a balanced, and an aggressive option. In this case, go and ask again to see if you can perhaps revisit your choice if you want to. And there should be a breakdown. If they have a choice of two or three funds, they should have some information around what those funds are and what the fees are and what it's invested in. But I think that, so just for example, my first job in London, I started working at Deloitte in London. I was from the start very specific about the company benefits, and I really had a look at what exactly the benefits are, as you can imagine, because I've always loved spreadsheets. And they actually have an option if they contribute 1.5% of my contributions towards my pension, they would match that with 1.5 times. So that would mean if I contribute 500, then they would contribute 500 plus another 250. So the total contribution towards the pension would be 1,250. And that was an amazing benefit, really amazing. It's something that they later phased out because I think it became quite an expensive cost to the company. This was basically, you had a scale, you could choose between, I think, 4% and 8%. You had to contribute minimum 4, maximum 8, but whatever you do, they match with 1.5. So in this case, it would be a no-brainer to max it out so that you can get the maximum 1.5x from them. And many people that I worked with had no idea this was the case. I didn't even know that they had this benefit. So I also heard from other girls that they have no idea what the pension is. They had to check, they were hoping their parents were going to help them choose, but the parents were in South Africa. They were in London, so the parents didn't understand the options either. So I would really encourage you. This could potentially end up being a massive part of your net worth. Once you reach retirement age, really understand your options in terms of your funds, or your investments, or with your employer, or your pension with your employer, if you have, and ask the hard questions. And then my second job in London, I actually moved to a real estate development firm, and it was We also agreed a very generous contribution towards pension as part of my package. But 4 months into the job, I then asked for my statement on my pension to see what it's invested in and, you know, if the how much has already been contributed. When I asked this question, they realized that they actually haven't opened my account with this pension. So I actually, they've taken the deductions from my salary, but they haven't actually contributed these amounts to the pension fund yet. So this is also why it's important to understand where your money is going and what it's invested in, because I've also heard from someone else that when they moved employers, they asked for a statement on their pension because they wanted to move their pension too. And they realized that for 2 years of their employment there, the employer did not make the contributions to their pension as per their contract. So this is not only something that you should check on once. I would actually check in regularly to make sure that these contributions have been made, because companies make mistakes. And of course, the more corporate it is, the less likely you would expect mistakes to be made. But, you know, I've really heard some horror stories. And the one I'm referring to now of someone missing out on 2 years of contributions was actually from a big corporate. So definitely check on that. And then the last thing I want to mention on this is that I think the days that you can solely rely on a pension from your employer is long gone. I think it used to be, you know, a possibility perhaps like 50 years ago for our grandparents, but it's not the case anymore. It is so important for you to take responsibility and make provision for your retirement outside of your employer's pension funds. And this is purely because cost of living is increasing and it's so dependent on where your employer is investing that money, what the fees are, etc. If whether that investment would actually, you know, have any significance for you by the time you retire. So hopefully, if you're a regular viewer, you probably know by now that you can start taking control and building an investment portfolio for yourself. But I want to mention the story to you because I think it can, for me, I was really shocked. I spoke to a guy that's 57 years old, that's been working for a corporate for 30 years. When he started looking at his pension, he solely relied on the pension from his employer. He bought a house, so a lot of his cash flow went towards paying off his mortgage. And we, you know, did some calculations and realized that based on his pension amount that he would have by the time he's retired, he's 57, wants to retire by the age of 60. He would not even be able to cover essential living costs and afford his house, his rates, taxes and levies on his house at the amount that's expected to be paid out from his pension once he retires. So I think this is a really sad example of if you're putting too much money towards paying off your mortgage, or you're just solely relying on a pension from your employer, where in this case, it can not even cover the cost of his housing cost. It's hopefully also motivation for you to take this serious and make provisions outside of your employer's pension. So lastly, something that is within your control is that in most of the countries, and I know this is in South Africa the case, in the UK and in Switzerland the case, that if you change employers, it's possible to also change your pension funds. You most of the time have the option to move it. You can actually move it to a pension, or obviously it has to stay within the pension fund and it has to be in a regulated pension fund still, but you can change it to a fund of your choice, where you can obviously make sure that it has the kind of exposure to equity that you want, and also it has low fees. You could also potentially have the option to change it to a fund of your new employer, but I'm usually quite skeptical of that, because if there's no transparency over fees and then you don't want to change from one high fee provider to the next. For example, what I did in the UK is when I left the UK and moved to Switzerland, I actually transferred my pension from my second employer and combined it with a pension from my first employer. And that's purely because the pension from the first employer had a lot of flexibility. I could choose the underlying funds and the fees were very low because it was a big group. You know, Deloitte's a big employer in the UK. They had a very good deal with asset manager on fees. So the fees were very low on that. So I prefer to have all of my pension funds in one account and it's all been transferred to the low fee provider. So that obviously makes the admin easier and helps me keep my fees low. But I know that's the case in South Africa for you as well. And you don't necessarily, as I mentioned, have to move to the new employer. You actually have a choice if you keep it within a Regulation 28 fund, for example, in South Africa. And before I go to the next scenario, I just want to mention is you probably know by now that I love analyzing your scenarios and answering your questions and looking at your specific circumstances. So please submit your questions in the form and it could potentially be featured on my next episode. So on to the next one. So the next question is from a 28-year-old mechanical engineer in the Netherlands. He said, "Good day, Carla. I'm working in the Netherlands as a mechanical engineer, and among me and my employer, my input to my retirement annuity is about 300 euros. I've been living in the Netherlands for already 2 years. My wife and I are planning to stay here for another 5 years before we move back to South Africa. Do you know how we can benefit from the retirement annuity after we move back? Are we able to transfer the money to South African retirement annuity? I also have about 20,000 rand in a retirement annuity from a job I had in South Africa before we moved. And my biggest fear is just losing all the money we're paying into the Dutch retirement annuity, which is mandatory. Perhaps you know if it's possible to transfer and or keep and even keep it in the Netherlands and still have it paid out when we retire. The chances of you being able to transfer this to a retirement annuity in South Africa is probably zero, because the rules are so different and it's under different tax regimes and the retirement policies around this is different. So I would, if I had to compare this to the pension, I know the Netherlands has a similar pension system to Switzerland, but the first question I would have here is this social security pension contributions, or is this actual defined contributions towards a pension plan? Are you able to get a statement of these amounts where you can see where it's invested? Is it an account number that's in your name? And can you see how much it grows or what the interest on that is? Because there are two types of contributions also that we make in Switzerland. The first would be contributions towards social security, which you don't have claim on unless you make contributions for a certain amount of years. And that's basically like them protecting their citizens or providing a minimum pension benefit to their citizens if they have worked in the country for a certain amount of years. On the other side, there are contributions to, for example, a Pillar 2 or a Pillar 3, which is if it's a contribution from your employer and also a contribution that you make, which it seems in this case it is, then you could potentially access those funds when you move to South Africa. You might have to pay some tax on it, but it is worth looking into if you can access it. That's why I think it's very important to understand what it's invested in and what the returns are, because if it's not great returns, then it might make sense for you to access it and invest it better. Perhaps still keep it offshore in a brokerage account offshore and invest it there in, you know, international ETFs, for example. But I think keeping it offshore could make sense. Then on the other side, if you see it is being invested well, which I have, to be honest, haven't seen from Dutch pension funds, it's usually very, very low risk investments with maybe a 2-3% return. Then, if it's invested well, great. Then it might make sense to keep it there. If you're sure that you can access it when you reach retirement age. Otherwise, if not, even though you might have to pay tax penalty, I think it's worthwhile looking into getting that back when you leave the Netherlands. Usually they have, at least in Switzerland they do. Unfortunately, I don't know the exact rules for the Dutch pension system, but in Switzerland, at least they say that if you cease residency in Switzerland, then you can get access to the Pillar 2 and Pillar 3 contributions that you've made. And I think this is also a valuable lesson for any expats that plan to move or are building up retirement funds in countries and then plan to move somewhere, is you have to get some clear details around the rules of where the money is invested in, but also if you can access it, what the tax implications would be. Understanding what it's invested in so that you can, if it's a good investment, a high fee investment or a very low risk investment, for example, and if it makes sense for you to rather get access to those funds once you leave that country and transfer it, or perhaps just keep it offshore in a brokerage account. But obviously invest it smartly, like for example in low-cost index funds. So the next question is from a 68-year-old retired gentleman living in New York, saying that they've been living in New York for six years and they are currently US tax residents. My wife works and has a 401k of $200,000, and a 401k is a pension version in the US. And we also have $600,000 in Vanguard ETFs. We will be returning to Cape Town in March 2026. We want to keep the above funds offshore but cannot retain our Vanguard account. We want to draw 4% per annum in South Africa. And if you were in our position, what would you do and how would you go about it? So I would definitely consider if it's possible to transfer these units, for example, the ETF, Vanguard ETF units, to a different brokerage account if you cannot retain your Vanguard account. That's definitely, I mean, if this is a common thing that you're not able to retain your Vanguard account once you cease residency in the US, then they should have a solution for you. In terms of where you can transfer this to, because many brokerage accounts like Interactive Brokers, which is an international brokerage account. And if you are, for example, a South African resident, then your Interactive Brokers account would be domiciled, or they would open an account through their UK branch or their UK firm. So that would mean that your account is hosted in the UK, but you're able to, through that account, invest in offshore ETFs. So in this case, I would perhaps look into or investigate if it's possible to transfer those ETF units to a new brokerage account outside the US if they are forcing you to close down this account. And I think this is obviously then also, I'd always talk about the CITES tax risk of having assets that are domiciled in the US. And I think here it's a clear case of questioning if you're basically, so CITES tax is obviously a risk for you, that if you pass away, that your estate is going to be exposed to tax in the US. And it really kicks in after $60,000 worth of assets in the US. And the CITES tax amount can go up to 40%. So in this case, their total assets already exceeds, you know, that by far. If the plan is to draw 4% per year, that's kind of following the 4% rule, which makes sure that you're living off of this, or that you're using this over time, and it's, you're planning for the for this amount to last you for 30 years, which is the 4% rule. And I have some videos on that if you want to understand that better. But in this case, I would say consider the US CITES tax risk, but also obviously consider if you are going to sell any of these units and perhaps change them over to UCITS ETFs that could trigger a capital gains tax. And that's just, I think that trade-off is worth considering between these two, especially because you are already retired, and I assume your wife is close to retirement age too, and you want to start selling off some of these units. I would actually, in your case, spend some money to talk to a tax or a structuring expert, and just make sure that you're doing it in a smart way once you get close to your move to South Africa, just because there are like a few things to think about, especially having US assets, which makes things a little bit tricky. And as a non-US resident, if you become a non-US tax resident and you have US assets, it can just complicate things a bit. So unfortunately, that's not a straightforward answer. And I think it's worthwhile talking to someone that has US tax or an expert in US tax in this case. But I also would definitely encourage you to investigate whether it's possible to transfer those ETF units from your current Vanguard account to an international brokerage account that would allow you to keep those units and not sell them when you leave the US. So that's all for today's episode. I remind you to please submit your questions, and I look forward to seeing you next time.